Okay, we're beginning here with the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Daled Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, Mazgulo Kos Rishon, and they poured for him, really diluted for him, his first cup of wine. Beit Shammai Omrim, Mevarech Al Hayom, V'achar Kach Mevarech Al Hayayin. First he makes the bracha Al Kiddush Hayom, and then afterwards he makes the bracha Borei Priya Gofen. Beit Hillel Omrim, on the other hand, Beit Hillel believes, Mevarech Al Hayayin, first you make a bracha on the wine, V'achar Kach Mevarech Al Hayom. And then afterwards, you make the bracha on the yom, the kiddush yom, which is our practice. This is the same machloka that's found in the Gemara Brachot with regards to kiddush on every Shabbat, which is whether the Borei Priya Gofen goes first and then the kiddush, or the other way around. Do we do the kiddush and then the Borei Priya Gofen? So over here, we have a machloka Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Gemara wants to understand what is the premise for their position. Tan Rabbanan. Dvarim shebein Beit Shammai uBeit Hillel b'tzuda. Beit Shammai omrim, Beit Shammai says, Mevarech al hayom, v'achar kach mevarech al hayayin. First you make the bracha on the kiddush hayom, then afterwards you make the bracha on the Borei Priya Gofen, on the yayin. Mipnei shayom goreim layayim sheyavo, because the day is what causes the wine to come. The only reason you're making kiddush is because it's a day of Shabbat, it's a day of Yom Tov, it's a holy day. Ukvar kidei shayom v'adayin yayin lo ba. And in addition to that, the kiddush shayom preceded the bracha layayin, meaning that kiddush shayom happens immediately at shkia or tzeit kochavim whenever we enter into the day. So the obligation to be mekadesh the yom already takes place early on. The yayin only comes now at the point that you're trying to drink the wine, then you have a Borei Priya Gofen. So for two reasons, we would make the kiddush hayom first. One is because the kiddush hayom is what drives the yayin to come. Kiddush hayom is the reason that we're making kiddush al hayayin. And number two is that kiddush hayom preceded that of kiddush hayayin. Beit Hillel omrim, mevarech al hayayin, v'achar kach mevarech al hayom. First you make the Borei Priya Gofen, and then you make the bracha aliyom, mipnei, shayayin goreim the kiddush sheteyamar. Because the only reason you're making kiddush now is because of the wine. Because otherwise you can make kiddush without wine. The kiddush aliyayin is an institution derabbanon, but the institution derabbanon is specifically kiddush aliyayin. And therefore you should make the bracha aliyayin because the yayin is actually what's driving this form of kiddush. Otherwise, you can make kiddush independent of the yayin. You can do it in davening, all the things that we discussed earlier about a person who davens in shul, whether they're yotzei that kiddush or not yotzei that kiddush. But you don't need the yayin. The fact that you're making kiddush al yayin means that the yayin is the goreim over here. Davar acher, in addition to that, birkat hayayin tadira. The birkat hayayin is more frequent. Birkat hayom enu tadira. And whereas the brocha on the yom, Shabbat and Yom Tov, is less frequent. Tadir, sheino tadir, tadir kodem. When you have a choice between two items or two mitzvot, and one of them is more frequent, we give precedence to the one that is more frequent. That's learned out in the Gemara in Zvachim. V'hilchata nalocha is kedivrei Beit Hillel. Now the Gemara says, my davar acher. Why did Beit Hillel bring a second reason? Gemara says, v'chitei mahatam tarte, that Beit Shammai gave two reasons, v'achachada, and Beit Hillel only had one reason. Hachanami tarte ninu, so too Beit Hillel has an equal number of reasons. Put the yayin before the kiddush. Tadir, sheino tadir, tadir kodem. Halacha kedivrei Beit Hillel. Why does the Gemara here have to come and state that the halacha is like divrei Beit Hillel? Pshita. Ta'anafik batko. We know already from the Gemara in Eruvin that a heavenly voice came out and said that everywhere the halacha is like Beit Hillel. So why do you hear you have to specify that the halacha is like Beit Hillel? So ibaitein ma kodem batko. One answer is that this was said prior to the batko. Prior to the batko, this was the psak of the Gemara that hilchadoka Beit Hillel. Some say it's even after the heavenly voice. So according to Rabbi Yoshua, the Amar in Mashkechim Bebatko, because they don't listen to a Batko. Rabbi Yoshua is found in the Gemara in Bava Metzia with Tanur Shachnai, where Rabbi Eliezer is arguing on the Chachamim as to whether it's Tahor or Tameh. And Rabbi Eliezer, who thinks that it's not problematic, asks for Min HaShamayim Yochichu, that from the heavens they will prove it. And a Batko comes out and says, what do you want from Rabbi Eliezer? He's right. And Rabbi Yeshua says back to that batko, you have to be quiet. Lo b'shamayim hi. This is not a heavenly issue. This is something that's paskin down below. And therefore, we won't listen to a batko. As Tosafot points out over here, there actually is a difference between the batko by Beit Hillel and the batko by Rabbi Eliezer. How can we listen to the batko by Beit Hillel? We don't listen to the batko by Rabbi Eliezer. He says, well, by the case of Beit Hillel, they were the rov. Meaning that the batko reaffirmed that the halacha is like the rov. But why do we need that? Because the Gemara over there in Irvin tells us that Beit Shammai mechadadei tvei, that they were sharper. And since they were sharper, you would think maybe we passen like them despite the fact that they're not the rov. Along comes the Batko and says, no, even here we passen like the rov, we passen al pi Beit Hillel. And that's why we needed the battle over there. By Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer is a dat yachid neged the rabbim. So when the batkul comes and supports Rabbi Eliezer, we don't listen to that batkul. But if that is the case, then Tosfot asks on himself, then why can we apply Rabbi Yeshua to here? Maybe Rabbi Yeshua over there says we don't listen to the batkul because it's a dat yachid. But over here by Beit Hillel, maybe he would agree. So he says, it sounds like from Rabbi Yeshua's statement over there, the batkul doesn't make a difference, period. That we don't listen to whatever. And therefore, the Gemara extrapolates it to over here and says that even by Beit Hillel, he says we don't listen to the batkul, and therefore we need a explicit psak in the Gemara here that Alocha Kib Beit Hillel. Now, with regards to this machlokum between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, Rav Soloveitchik in Shirim Zecher Avi Umori writes over there that the difference in their opinion has to do with how exactly do you view Borei Pri Hagafen and the wine. Do you view the vine simply as a birkat hananin that is accompanying an adjunct to the kiddush, and therefore you would make kiddush and then borei pri hagafen, because the kiddush is the ikar davar here, and then the borei pri hagafen is simply a birkat hananin which lends significance to the kiddush, and that's why you make it afterwards, the borei pri hagafen afterwards, because otherwise the kiddush would actually be a hefsek, number one. And number two is, it's not relevant. The Kiddush is more important. Or on the other hand, do you believe that the Borei Pri Hagafen is an integral part of Kiddush? Meaning that the Borei Pri Hagafen is part of the Kiddush. And the way he shows that is by the daytime. When we make Kiddush, Borei Pri Hagafen by itself has a shape or form of Kiddush, at least according to the Rambam. And that Borei Pri Hagafen is similar to the Borei Pri Hagafen we have on Friday night. He says that's the Igra Machloka between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel believes that Borei Pri Hagafen is a part and parcel of the Kiddush. Therefore, it's appropriate to make Borei Pri Hagafen prior to Kiddush, because it's a part of the Kiddush. It's part of the Shir and the Shevach that's Nemar al Yayin. And therefore, you make the Borei Pri Hagafen first, because not only is it a Birkat Hananin, it's also a Birkat HaKiddush. And so therefore, the Yayin will lead us into the Birkat HaYom from the Birkat Shevach Vodah that comes al Yayin. And so you make a Borei Pri Hagafen, then Kiddush HaYom. On the other hand, Beit Shammai believes that the Borei Pri Hagafen simply an accompaniment, lends Chashivut, but it's not a part and parcel of the Kiddush. Therefore, according to Beit Shammai, you make the Borei Pri Hagafen after the Kiddush, because number one, so it should be a hefsek, and number two is obviously the Kiddush Hayom is more significant. Rav Zevin in the Or LaHalacha takes another approach to the Machloka to Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, but he looks at it on a more global aspect. And he mentions that throughout Shas, whenever you have a Machloka between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai always looks at the potential or the underlying reason behind a Davar. Whereas Beit Hillel always looks at the practical and the here and now. He shows it through many, many machlokot between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, that they all conform to this reason. And similarly over here, what do you look at here? Do you look at the practical issue, what's in front of us, Yayin and Kiddush Hayom, and therefore you make Borei Pri Hagafen first? Or do you look at the underlying theme that's here and the background to what's going on here, and that's all about Kiddush Hayom, and that's the focus of Beit Shammai? Okay, now we continue with the next Mishnah, which is Hevilu Fanav, they brought before him. According to the Rashbam, they brought before him vegetables. According to the Ravino Chananel, as well as to the Tosafot, Hevilu Fanav means they brought the Shulchan, they brought the table in front of him. What's on it are the vegetables of the Chazeret, but the Hevilu Fanav is referencing the Shulchan and not the vegetables themselves. So then Hevilu Fanav, Mitabel B'Chazeret. Then he takes the Chazeret. Now Chazeret here in the Mishnah is used as a synonym for Maror. He takes the Maror, and he dips it, ad shemegia l'parperet hapat, until he reaches parperet hapat, which is the something that accompanies the pat, something that is a part of the su'uda, but not literally a chelik min su'uda. It's not lafeta tapat, it's not like something you put on the bread itself, but it's something that's normally eaten during a su'uda. And number two is something that has connection to the su'uda. Here we know vegetables increase the appetite, so therefore they have a relevance within the su'uda. So they bring this mitabel b'chazeret ad shemegila perperet abat, until you reach perperet apat. Perperet apat is referring to the maror that's eaten after hamotzi. So here you do a tibul with the maror, and then again you're going to do it later on. So now hevil d'fanav matzah v'chazeret v'charoset u'shnei tavshilin. Then they bring the seder plate, or the equivalent of the seder plate. There for them was a shulchan. They brought out a table that has on it the matzah. The chazeret again is the maror. Charoset for dipping the maror into. Ushnei tav shilin, and then two cooked items. The Gemara will discuss what all of these items are. Va'afal pishen charoset mitzvah, even though charoset is not a mitzvah, nevertheless it's found on the plate. Rabbi Elazar, but Rabbi Tzadok omer mitzvah. It is a mitzvah. And we'll discuss that in 2 days in the daf, exactly what the din of charoset is. Umigdash, ayumivin lefanav, gufo shel Pesach. At the time of the Beit HaMikdash, at that time also, they had the Korban HaPesach was brought out for now what is going to be the Haggadah. Now, as far as what's transpiring here about dipping in the case where you bring out Chazeret, the Gemara is going to discuss why you're bringing out Maror now when you're going to have Maror later. And the Gemara is going to tell us that that's really only a Bidyevid situation. It's only when you have no other vegetables. If you have other vegetables, we're going to opt for you to bring out other vegetables for what's called Karpas and not bring out Maror. But the Mishnah tells you that if you only have Maror, you still have to do this first Karpas, but you do it with Maror. That's number one. Number two is, what do you dip it into? And the Rashbam says over here, with regards to what you're dipping in, he says, the fi, shekol ma'achalam ayidei tibul, since they always ate things with dipping, v'hai tibul la b'charosetu, but this tibul is not in charoset, and he proves it because the Mishnah then says that you bring out the Seder plate with the charoset on it, which indicates that the charoset wasn't there until that point in time. And that chazeret, again, he says, is lav davka, like the Gemara, that it could be any yerakot, just happens to be here, then when it's not any other yerakot, you can use chazeret. Now, from the Rashbam, it sounds like you dip it, but he doesn't give you any indication of what you should do. Tosafot, first of all, disagrees with the Rashbam, and says that the fact that we bring out the charoset afterwards doesn't mean that it wasn't there before, just like the chazeret. You bring out the chazeret on the Seder plate, even though it's there beforehand, so that's not a raya. Secondly, he says, it really depends on what you're using for karpas. If you're using maror for karpas, then we're going to see later on in the Gemara that you have to dip maror into the charoset for a number of reasons, one of which is there's a certain danger in eating maror. So if that's the case, then if you ate maror for karpas, you should have to dip it in charoset as well. On the other hand, if you use other vegetables besides maror for karpas, then there would be no need to dip it into the charoset. And that's what the Tosfot says. The Tosfot suggests that, according to the way the Rashbam is learning, this is what should be. That if you have maror, you should dip it into charoset like you would do later on in the meal. If you have other vegetables for karpas, then he writes, "Meyo heicha shatibu shon havi b'shay rakot ein sarich litbol b'charoset." You don't have to do in a charoset. Ella o b'chometz in vinegar o b'mayim u'melach k'moshe anoeg Rabbeinu Tam, or into salt water like the minhag of Rabbeinu Tam. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins that way, that when you for karpas you should dip it into vinegar. And the Mishnah Berurah brings down the minhag that we today don't usually use vinegar, that we actually use salt water. Despite the fact that Tosfot says the Eloha Karav Yosef Shaya Sabis Sidro Vitbo Bicharosa Vichen Rabbeinu Shlomo and Rashi Sidro the Rav Shemaya. A number of the Rishonim have in their Seder or their Sidur, they have that you should be dipping in Charoset at this point in time. Despite the fact Tosafot thinks that's incorrect, you do not need to dip in Charoset. You can dip it into vinegar or salt water, which makes more sense. Again, it's a Zecher the Shibud, it's supposed to be something unusual. And therefore, that's what you do for Shai Rakot. If you have Maror, then he says that it thinks you should have to dip it into charoset, even though according to the Rashbam, the Pashtut Rashbam, you wouldn't even have to dip maror into charoset, which we'll have to explain when we get to the Gemara about charoset as to why not. So Amar Reish Lakish, Zot Omeret, Reish Lakish says, from our mission you can conclude, mitzvot tzrichot kavanah, that mitzvot require kavanah. In order to accomplish the mitzvah, you have to have kavanah to be yotze the mitzvah. Kevan, lo bidan dechiva de maror hu dachile. Since you're doing this, the karpas, not at the time that you intend to eat maror for the sake of maror, which is later on in the meal where you're going to make the bracha achilat maror. Therefore, bari priyadama hu dachile. All you make is a bari priyadama, bevarbiket anenin, and then you eat it. Bedilma lo yikavin the maror. And maybe you don't intend for maror. I don't know if the maybe here means certainly you're not, or because you don't make achilat maror, therefore you're not. Hilkach by the mader latzvule the shem maror. Therefore you have to go back and dip for maror, the shem maror, with kavanah for maror later on the meal after hamotzi. To eat sakadatcha mitzvah lo bayi kavanah, because if you really think that mitzvah don't require kavanah, lama lecha trei tubule, then why do you have to do two dippings? You already accomplished the mitzvah maror, even though unbeknownst to you, really without any kavanah or intent. But when you ate maror for karpas, you were already yotzi in the mitzvah of karpas. Then why bother to do it later on in the meal? And more so, it probably is a bracha levatala to say alechilat maror later in the meal when you already dipped it up front. Or it says, mimai, how do you know that's the reason? Dilma, the olam, mitzvot ain't srichot kavanah. Maybe mitzvot do not require kavanah. Begda amart, trei tibule lomali. Say, okay, so why are we dipping twice? Why are you eating chazeret in the beginning of the Haggadah and chazeret later on in the Haggadah? In order that it'll be a heker for the tinokot, so that they will ask questions about it, it will trigger questions from the children. which is part of the Manishtana while we're dipping here. And therefore, it might be that you need both of them, not just because of the din of mitzvah of Maror, but more because of changing the pattern of the night to encourage the children to ask questions and to query about why we're doing things that are unusual. If that's the case, why don't you tell us that the karpas can be done with any vegetable? Because then the dipping has nothing to do with maror. It has to do with the fact that you're actually dipping and doing something unusual. So, if you told us about other vegetables, that you only do two dippings or karpas when you have other vegetables. If you only have maror and you have nothing else, lo bayi trei tibulei, then you don't do trei tibulei. Kamash v'lan, tafilu chazeret v'inan trei tibulei. That even by chazeret, you require two dippings. In order that the tinokot will see that there's something different, even though by doing that, you actually will be yotzei the mitzvah moror on the first dipping, if you think mitzvot ain't tzrichot kavana. So Reish Lakish concludes that must mean that mitzvot tzrichot kavana. And since they're tzrichot kavana, you won't have that problem. That's the way that we have it set up according to Reish Lakish. The Gemara is going to challenge Reish Lakish's position about mitzvot tzrichot kavana now. But what we have here is basically a structure of the Mishnah of Karpas and Maror. And why we do it twice is in order to show or have a heker letinokot, to drive the tinokot to ask questions. But in Ochanami, we can't prove from this, from Reish Lakish's position, that mitzvot tzrichot kavana. According to Reish Lakish, mitzvot tzrichot kavana, otherwise why are you eating maror twice? You don't need to eat maror the second time. But according to the Gemara says maybe you eat maror the second time for the fact that you have to have heker letinokot. In that case, if you think mitzvot ain't tzrichot kavana, in Ochanami, you would be yotzei the maror in the first place. And then you might have to adjust the bracha of alichalat maror, and we'll discuss that later on in the Gemara at the end of today's daf. But what you have here is what we call a heker, something that drives the kids to do or ask questions. Which is the heker? Is it the first dipping that's the heker, or the second dipping that's the heker? So the Torah says that the tibul arishon, the first dipping, is the heker, because generally you don't do dipping before the meal. So since it's outside the framework of the meal, that's what's unusual over here, and that's what triggers the questions of the children. On the other hand, the Maral believes that the tibul sheni is the heker. The second dipping is the heker, because dipping a second time is what causes the, or triggers the question. So it's actually the second dipping that is the heker, not the first. The first one is to trigger the second one. Might be that the Maral believed the other way around, that dipping inside of the meal was unusual. It was only done for appetizers, and that's why it was considered to be a heker when you dipped inside of the meal. But here you have a machloket as to which one of them is actually the heker, whether it's the first dipping or the second dipping, depending on what was normal in terms of the structure of their meals. Now the Gemara challenges Reish Lakish v'otanya. We have another braita. Achlan demai yotza. If you eat maror from demai, demai is something that is so fake, whether it had trumot and masrot removed from it, then you're yotze. Achlan belo mitkavein. If you eat them without any kavana, yotza, then you're also yotze. So here you have here a braita that explicitly says that you do not require kavanah to be yotze the mitzvah of maror. And if you ate it demai, you could also be yotze. Just like by matzah, if you ate it by demai, you could be yotze, because, as we saw earlier in the Masechta, you could be machkir kol nechasav. You can get rid of all your possessions and be classified as an ani. And an ani, the chachamim permitted to eat from demai. Achlan nechatzain, you don't have to eat it all in one shot. You don't have to eat the kezayit of maror in one shot. As long as you don't, over that time period, of take up the amount of time it would eat to eat a pras, to eat a half a loaf of bread, within that framework, if you eat the gezayit worth of maror, then you're fine. You don't have to have it all in one shot. So here we have a bread that explicitly says, mitzvot ain't tzrichot kavana, legabe maror. So if Reish Lakish is saying that mitzvot tzrichot kavana, proving it from our mission to maror, Gemara rejects that and says that may not be the reason. The reason may be heker. And number two is you have a bright that explicitly says that you do not require kavanah with regards to maror. Mar says, Tanayehi. It happens to be a machloket tanaim as to whether you need kavanah. Tatanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, afa pi shitibel bechazeret, mitzvah la vila fanav chazeret. Even though you did the tibul up front with chazeret, the karpas, nevertheless, you have to bring the maror again. Vecharoset. You bring him the chazeret, the maror, and the charoset, ushnei tavshulin. And the two cooked items that go on the Seder plate. So there you see again that he's forcing you to have maror a second time, even though you've already had it once, implying that mitzvot tzrichot kavana. The Gemara says, v'akata mimai. Why do you have to say that? We can answer the same way that we answered before. Dilma kasav Rabbi Yossi, mitzvot ain't tzrichot kavana. Maybe he really believes that mitzvot do not require kavana, and you're yotzei with the first maror. Behind the bean and trei tibulei. So then, why is he telling you to dip once and then bring the maror out again and dip it in the charoset? Kekadavi hekera l'tinokot. So there'd be a heker for the tinokot. Imkein my mitzvah. Gemara says, wait a minute, that was a nice answer for the Mishnah, but for Rabbi Yossi it doesn't make so much sense, because Rabbi Yossi says even after you go ahead and dip the maror, you should mitzvah to bring out the maror again. Now, mitzvah is a terminology that indicates that there's some sort of obligation to do this. So that means bringing out the maror is not simply a heker. It's not to make the children aware of something or ask questions. Rather, it's a mitzvah. There's an indication that you must do this. You must do this because mitzvot, srichot, kavana. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi does that, or is of that position, that mitzvot, srichot, kavana. So you see here, we have a machloket tanaim, and Reish Lakish is taking up one of those positions, that whether mitzvot, srichot, kavana, according to Rabbi Yossi, yes. According to the other braita that we brought down, no. Reish Lakish says that, we'll explain our Mishnah, it's not mitzvot, srichot, kavana. Now, the Gemara says it's not muchrach from our Mishnah that that's the case. Nevertheless, you could learn it. Reish Lakish believes that that is the explanation of the Mishnah. Just, it's not muchrach. You can't prove from the Mishnah, because you can read the Mishnah as being an issue of heker. What's interesting now is that it might have implications with regards to karpas, how much karpas you must eat. The Rambam in the Halacha with regards to karpas says that one should eat a kezayit worth of karpas. Rambam says, matchil mevarech bari pri adama, lokeach yarech umtabel oto becharoset vochel kezayit. The first one says you dip it into the charoset. You see that's the din of the Rambam and some of the other Rishonim, that the first dip is also into charoset, not into salt water or vinegar. Again, we said before, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, like the Tosafot here and the other Rishonim, that believe that dipping here can be done into vinegar or salt water as long as it's not maror. Vochel kezayit. And then you have to eat a kezayit worth of karpas. The Rambam says you eat a kezayit. On the other hand, the Rosh says, Avali birakot arishonot, shimavarech aleim barei pri adama ba'alma, ein maskirin aleim achila, ve'ein tzarech mehem kezayit. Since there's no din of achila by them, therefore you don't have to have a kezayit. The Rosh doesn't say you can't have a kezayit, just says that you don't need to have a kezayit. And their machloket seems to revolve around the fact as whether when we made the Chachamim instituted this din of heker, what does that mean? According to the Rosh, that when do you need a achila? You need an achila of a kezayit when there's a mitzvah. A mitzvah requires achilat kezayit. Over here, you don't have a mitzvah. It's simply b'shem heker atidokot, and therefore it's not considered to be a mitzvah that's by yishur, and therefore you don't need a kezayit over here. On the other hand, the Rambam, who says you do require kezayit, sees once you've established that this is for heker, that becomes a mitzvah chachamim. Meaning that once, yes, the original institution is because of heker, but once that's the case, it now becomes an institution of chachamim, and therefore, it's a mitzvah to do the heker that the chachamim established. Once that's the case, and achila is only considered to be significant once you have a kezayit of that item. Now, our practice today is to have less than a kezayit when we make the bracha of bori pri adama on the karpas, and that's for a different reason. It has nothing to do with whether the machloket here between the Rambam and the Rosh as to whether we should or should not have a kezayit. It happens to be that it helps that the Rosh also, because it's heker, you don't require a kezayit, but the reason that we don't have a kezayit, even though the Rosh only says you don't have to eat a kezayit, you could eat a kezayit, because of the issue of bracha achrona, as to whether it will require you to make a bracha achrona. And that is because here you're making the bari priya andama before this seuda. If you eat a full kezayit worth, it may obligate you to make a bracha achrona before the seuda, because this is not an item that is b'pnei seuda. It's not coming for the seuda. Since it's not coming because of the seuda, it's really an independent item. So if it's an independent item and you eat a full shiur, you might obligate yourself in a bracha achrona, especially given the fact that we're going to read the whole Haggadah and have a hefsek there, you might have to make a bari nefashot. And so because of that, we do not eat a full kezayit. We also want the bari pri adama that we make by the karpas to cover the maror later in the meal. And that has to do with the machloket that we'll see in tomorrow's daf with regards to how you view the maror here within the context of amotzi. Is the maror something that is independent of the meal because it's a mitzvah chachamim, has nothing to do with the suda, and therefore the bracha of amotzi won't cover it, and you need a bari pri adama separately for it, and that bari pri adama would be covered by the karpas? Or do we say that it's a b'machmana suda, like Tosafot suggests here, because yerek, vegetables come to increase the appetite, and therefore they have a din of being a part of the suda, and you won't need a separate bracha of bari pri adama? So in order to cover both of those issues, when we make the bari pri adama on the karpas, we have in mind for the maror as well. And number two is we eat less than a kezayit in order to not have to make a bracha achrona. So that bracha will still stand and cover the maror later on. Now the Gemara asks, my shnei tamshilin, what are these two cooked items that you have on the table, or what we call today the Seder plate? I'm Rav Huna, silka veruza. It's beets and rice. So in the Gemara, again, the word selik is used sometimes tradin to mean beets, sometimes to mean spinach and rice. As the Rashbam points out, it means even beets or rice. Even though there are better items to use, even if only you use these items, that's fine. Rabba havam hadra silka veruza. Rava used to look to do that. Hove nothing we pomade to Rav Huna, because Rav Huna had said it. He wanted to give that kavod to Rav Huna, and therefore he used those items. What's clear from here is that oriz, rice, is permitted to be used on Pesach, and that's what the Gemara says. Amar vashish mamina. The Rav Huna, we can learn out from what Rav Huna said here, late the chayish lal dahad Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Nobody worries about Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who earlier in our Masechta said, the Tanya, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri omer, orez min daganhu, that orez is a type of a grain, v'chayavin al chimitzo karet. And if you make it or you let it rise, you'll be chayav karet, v'adam yotzebo yodei chavotah b'pesach, and then you'll be yotze your din of matzah on Pesach with it. We disagree and we say that the rising within the rice just leads to spoilage till sirchon and does not lead to a rising that is similar to other grains and does not have a classification of a grain. And therefore, rice is permitted on Pesach. The reason that we don't have rice today is brought by the Rishonim, who discussed that the minhag was not to bring rice to the table because of two reasons. One reason is that many times they stored rice with wheat and the kernels got mixed up, and therefore if you cooked rice, you would also be cooking wheat and you wouldn't be careful with that, and you could end up with chametz on Pesach. The other reason brought is the fact that the flour, or rice flour that's made, can then be baked into breads and other items, and people will not be able to differentiate between that which is made with rice flour than that which is made with regular grain flour. In order to differentiate, to make that clear, the asered kidney oat, what we know as the iser of kidney oat on Pesach, that includes rice, and other legumes that either can be made into a flour, and that flour then can be utilized to make a bread, even though it's not bread in the sense of halachic bread, but therefore people get confused, or the Mr. Burr brings, when there are droughts, the wheat grows, the kernels look funny, and they actually look like a legume in drought years, and therefore we don't want people to get mixed up. Now this is clearly only a minhag Ashkenaz. The Beit Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch says we never saw anything like this, and that we eat rice, like it says in the Gemara. Although there are communities within Morocco that different minhagim developed. Some of the Moroccan communities did eat rice, and some of the Moroccan communities did not eat rice. And the reason those that did not eat rice was not because of like the Ashkenazic din of kidney oat, but simply because in those communities they used to store the rice with the wheat, and therefore they were afraid to use the rice. So because of that, they developed the minhag not to eat rice. Not again from the broader context of the gezerat kidney oat for Bnei Ashkenaz, but for a practical issue that they stored rice along with the wheat, and that developed into Sinet today. Different Moroccans have different minhagim. Some do eat rice on Pesach, and some do not eat rice on Pesach. But it's clear from the Gemara that Mi'ikar Adin, rice is mutar on Pesach. And even by us, where it's aser mikishum kidney oat, where we make it. First of all, you can own it on Pesach. There's no issue of bayireh, bayimatzeh. And number two is you can get hanah from it on Pesach. And number three is ayidei tarovet b'di'eved, you might be able to benefit from the rice or kidney oat. Chizki amar. Now Chizki offers an alternative as to what the two are. Now he's offering this as a chiddush, which is afilu dagu beitzah she'alav. It's actually a Gemara found in Beitzah as well with regards to two types of shilin, that even if you have a fish with an egg on top of it, that is classified as two tavshilim and not a single tavshil. So you could use that as your two tavshilim. Rav Yossi Amar, tzarich shnei minei basar. You need two pieces of meat, echad zecher le Pesach, one has a zecher le korban Pesach, v'echad zecher le chagigah. And one of them has a zecher for the korban chagigah that was brought. So the Rabbeinu Chananel over here says about that, echad zecher le korban Pesach should be done sli, should be roasted. And the one that's brought zecher l'chagigah should be cooked. Zecher l'chagigah. That's why the Rabbeinu Chananel terms these shnei b'nei basar on the Seder plate. One is zecher l'korban ha-Pesach. One is zecher l'korban chagigah. Now, Tosafot takes issue with this Rabbeinu Chananel. And he says that our Mishnayot follow the position of Ben Tema. Ben Tema, we saw earlier in the Masechta, says that chagigat yudalit has the same din as korban ha-Pesach. And that means, just like korban ha-Pesach is done sli, so too, Chagigat Yudalit has to be done sli. And Tosfot proves that our Mishnayot are like Ben Tema, because the Mishnah coming up on Kuftet Zayin Amud Aleph about the Manishtana says, why is this day different than all other days? Why tonight we only eat Kulot Sli? We ate all roasted meat tonight. What do you mean all roasted meat? The Chagigat Arvasa wasn't eating roasted. Ella, it must be like Ben Tema that we do eat roasted meat. Now, the Gemara back in the early in the Masechta had a different answer, and answered how it could be even not like Ben Tema. But nevertheless, the Gemara here seems to be following that position of Ben Tema. And therefore, Tosafot says that the Rabbeinu Chananel is wrong, that if you have a Chagigata Basar, it would also be Tzli. And therefore, both pieces of meat should have been Tzli or Mevushal. It has nothing to do with Korban HaPesach or Chagigat Arba Asar. So therefore, Tosafot says, L'kach Nira, Shnehem Mevushalim, that you just cook both of them. It's just two Tavshilim, Zecher, the Korban Pesach, and Chagigat. You don't have to do them Tzli, because there's no differentiation between the Chagiga and the Korban HaPesach. And since we don't emulate the Korban HaPesach of Tzli on that night, we just make Shnehem Mevushalim. What he does raise in another place, Tosafot, is the issue of what happens if it falls out on Shabbat. If Erev Pesach is Shabbat, and Pesach is Motzei Shabbat. In that case, they did not bring a Chagigat Arbasar. Well, if they don't bring a Chagigat Arbasar, you don't need two Tavshilim. So he says, technically, in that case, you would only need one Tavshil. But because of Lo Plug, we have two Tavshilim every year, because if you told people one year to use one, they wouldn't remember in each year, and they'd end up using one and not two. So he says, better to use two all the time, so that way we have no confusion about the fact that whether you should or shouldn't have two Tavshilin. He says, but if someone in a case, Pesach falls out on Motzei Shabbat, only has one Tavshil on a Seder plate, you don't have to stop him. You can leave him alone because, in Elchanami, truthfully, he is right. The only reason that we have two Tavshilim is because of an issue of low plug. Ravina Amar, Afilu Garma Bishula. The way the literal translation of these words is Garma would be a bone, and Bishula would be a cooked piece of meat. But the way the Rishbam translated here, it means you have a piece of basar with the gravy. That's already considered to be two tav shilim. So here we have on the Seder plate this idea of two tav shilim. Today we use an egg and a shank bone. One zeker l'karban chagiga, one zeker l'karban pesach. So a similar concept as to what's found here in the Gemara, that you have two tav shilim. One zeker l'karban pesach, and one zeker l'karban chagiga. So the Seder plate incorporates matzah, maror, charoset, and these two items, these two tav shilim, which are zeker l'karban pesach and zeker l'chagiga, and they will become the props for the story of the Haggadah, in order to have the children interact and engage with these items. So now the Gemara jumps back to what we were discussing before with regards to Maror and Karpas. So Gemara says, Pshita, Heichadika Shai Yirakot. It's clear that if you have other vegetables, Varecha Shai Yirakot, Karpas, you should definitely do a Shai Yirakot, and you make the bracha Varei Pri Adama. Vachil, and then you eat it. Vahadar Mevarecha, and then in the second time that you come after Amotzi and you're going to do Maror, then you make the bracha of alichilat maror, v'achil, and then you eat it, like our practice. Make bari pri adama by the karpas, and we make the bracha of alichilat maror by the maror after hamotzi. Heicha deleka lechasa. But the question is, where we don't have anything besides chasa, here is the lettuce, but that's the primary item mentioned in the Mishnah for maror, the romaine lettuce. Mai, what's the din? Amrav Huna, mevarech mi'ikara maror, bari pri adama. By karpas, on that maror, you make the bracha bari pi adama, v'achil, and then you eat it. Olesof, mevarech alei achilat maror. And the second time you eat it, then you make the bracha of achilat maror, and then you eat it. Now, as Tosafot points out over here, Rav Huna holds, like Reish Lakish, that you need kavana. Since you need kavana, in the first case, you eat the maror and make a bari pi adama, you don't have any problem, you don't have kavana for maror. Later on in the meal, you have kavana for maror, and then you make the bracha of achilat maror. So that is the position of Rav Huna. Rav Chista, mat kifla Rav Chista, lacha shimelei priso heimenu. After he filled up his belly with maror, choser mevarechala, he's gonna go make a bracha of alechilat maror. So the two ways that you can view Rav Chista's position. Ela amar Rav Chista, mitar mevarechala barpi adama, alechilat maror. In the first time in Karpas, you make both brachot, barpi adama and achilat maror, and then achil, and then you eat it. Olosof achil achilat chasa below bracha. And then in the end, you eat again maror without any bracha. Why do you eat the second maror? We already said in the Gemara, mishum heker. It's have a heker, or, and I'll see in a second in the Gemara, it might have to do with placing of the matzah maror together, zecher, the mikdash, kehilah, which we do later on. But you do have to have the maror both times if we make the bracha up front. The one way to learn Rav Chista is that he doesn't hold like Reish Lakish. He holds mitzvot, einan srichot kavana. And therefore, it makes sense to make the bracha of achilat maror up front, because you're going to be yotzei the mitzvah up front. If you're going to be yotzei the mitzvah up front, make achilat maror and bari pri adama up front. That's one way to learn it. Tosafot says no. That Rav Chista also holds like Reish Lakish that you need kavana. But afa became savar the ein achol nevarech b'tibul sheni came in kavar miliyei kriso. Because even though mitzvah tzrichot kavana, he says it's inappropriate to make the bracha of achilat maror on the second time, because you've already eaten so much maror. And if that's the case, it doesn't make sense. It's not proper. It's not proper etiquette to make a bracha of achilat maror after you've already eaten so much maror. Because he proves that. Because isa varin tzrichot kavana, havlemei marbehedja, the nafik betibul rishon. His question on Rav Huna should not be, oh, you filled your belly with it, but rather, you were yotzei already. So why are you making the bracha on the second one? That's not what he claims. He claims that you ate a lot. So from there, Tosafot proves that both Rav Chisda and Rav Huna believe that mitzvah tzrichot kavana like Reish Lakish. And Tosafot also says here that the alachidah mora you make on the first one will cover the second one as well, even though you have the hefsek of the Haggadah in between, similar to what we do with our Bori Pri Adama today, but he says this with regards to Achilat Maror, and he claims it's just like Tkiot. By the Tkiot, we make the bracha on the Tkiot to Miyushav, and then main Tkiot that we have are the Tkiot Muma that we have in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. Those are the classic or the key Tkiot. The ones before Shmoneh Esrei were only an addition later on. Nevertheless, we make the bracha on that little addition, and they cover both the Tkiot Miyushav and the Tkiot Mumad. So too over here. Even though the main din of Achilat Maror is after a motzi, when you're eating the matzot and the marorim, nevertheless, the bracha up front we make on the ancillary mitzvah, which is the heker mitzvah, to eat the maror up front in the meal. We make it there, and it covers both that and the later maror in the meal, which is the main maror that you are eating. From here, Tosafot also says that you see from Reish Lakish, from Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, everybody says mitzvot tzrichot kavana. And therefore, the locha should be mitzvot tzrichot kavana. Shulchan Aruch in Dinei Kriyat Shema Paskins, he brings down that mitzvot ein tzrichot kavana, v'yeshom rim, that mitzvot do need kavana. V'chein alocha v'ein chilkuta, he says that is the alocha, like the yeshom rim, that mitzvot tzrichot kavana. Over there, the Mishnah Brewer brings down the Magen Avram and the Gra and others that qualify that statement and say that's only true by mitzvot de'oraita. By mitzvot de'oraita, we require mitzvot tzrichot kavana. By mitzvot de'rabanan, we say mitzvot einan tzrichot kavana. And that's the way that we pass in the locho, the differentiation between mitzvah d'oraita and mitzvah d'rabanan. By mitzvah d'oraita, we assume mitzvah tzrichot kavana, and by mitzvah d'rabanan, we assume that mitzvah einan tzrichot kavana. Although, of course, it's always good to have kavana for the mitzvah that you are accomplishing. Now the Gemara concludes, v'suri abdik Rav Huna. In Syria, they used to do like Rav Huna, which was to make the alechad maror later in the meal. Rav Sheish b'rei Rav Yeshua did Rav Chisda. Rav Sheish b'rei Rav Yeshua did like Rav Chisda make the Aleich Chalat more earlier in the meal. V'hilchot Kavat did Rav Chisda. And Allah is actually like Rav Chisda that if you only use Maror, both for Karpas and for Maror, that you should make an Aleich Chalat Maror up front by the Karpas. Vacha b'rei Rav Mahadar Shari Rakot. Vacha b'rei Rav Bust, you look for other vegetables, lafuke nafshimi plukta. So I didn't have to get involved in this machloket at all between Rav Huda and Rav Chisda. And that's what we do today, our practice day by Karpas, is to use other vegetables, anything that's borei pri adama, not maror, that was what we use for Karpas, and then we use maror for later on, which the Gemara says, pshita, then we know what to do, you make a borei pri adama on the first one, by Karpas, and you make an alechilat maror by the one that is after hamotzi. Okay, we'll stop over here.